wave to everybody. They want to applaud you and say, welcome to our church. Yeah. Isn't that great? And they want to say these words to you. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. God bless you all. We're going to sing or not? Okay, we'll sing our song. Joy. So grateful to be a part of that. Now the persons in the hospital will come up on the screen or in rehab. Actually, Marilyn Brothers is here. Marilyn, to see you out and about. So grateful for that. And other concerns there, we invite you to pray for these persons. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty and loving God, we gather in your name, grateful for celebrations like the sacrament of Holy Communion and for the sacrament of baptism. So we bless these children and bless the ministry of this church as it helps to rear up, bring up children like these and others into the deep and wonderful Christian faith where Jesus gives us life and life abundant. We pray for those who are going through a challenging time. We pray for their healing and for your blessings upon their lives. We pray for our country and our world. We pray for our political process, this time that seems to be so concerning to many of us, and we pray for decorum and peace and calm and guidance and wisdom in these days. We ask your blessings upon our country and upon all the countries of the world, and that we as citizens of this world as well as citizens of heaven will do our part in becoming a part and of a civil society. We ask your blessings upon our time together. We pray these things in the name of Jesus who taught us when we gathered together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, Susan Covey and her dancers are coming. And it's a good time to mention that dance camp registration is available. You look in the bulletin and you can become a part of this very special thing this summer.
just like everyone. Jesus, I need you, I need your love. Save my life.
Thank you. Thank you, Trinity Dancers. Thank you, Susan, for doing this great ministry. And we, you know, they were at the 8:15 service, which means they were at the 7 o'clock service. So we're grateful for their commitment. Ushers, would you come and we'll receive our morning offering as the ushers come. And as they do, let me offer this prayer. God, we thank you for these dancers and the joy and the beauty that they bring to us. And now we ask your blessings upon these gifts for the work of the kingdom, how important it is, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Okay, today Sunlight will be singing Next to Me, and there is one particular line in this song that always stands out to me. When all I need is a hand to stop the tears from falling, I will find him, I'll find him next to me. The line, as well as the song as a whole, this symbolizes that in both our sadness and sinfulness, God's love shines through, whether it comes straight from him or through the church. God always finds a way to meet us in our darkness and journey with us. As a church body, we have an opportunity to show God's love, not only inside the church, but outside the church in the way that we love one another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." The song is about a girl who, in the roughest times of her life, discovered that she can find love and a rock to stand on in God. As a church, that is what we need to be, a rock to stand on for those that are in desperate need of hope. Now singing the beautiful Kelsey Dooley.
Thank you, Sunlight. Wow, you guys are amazing. Thanks. Excited for you about your tour this year down to the Keys and the Dry Tortugas. Wow, that's exciting. If you want to help with that, there's those envelopes in the back, and that would be a big help. And, there was mention talking to Alice about this Seder meal, and she or somebody will be on that table back there in the back with the black tablecloth. That's coming up on Monday, Thursday. I want to express a sincere welcome to those who are watching on live stream. You know, this service is shown on live stream, and a number of people tune in, and we try to remember to say greetings to you. Today I'm going to read through the scripture, but I'm going to do a commentary as I walk through the scripture, and then I'll kind of go into the sermon, okay? Before I show you the scripture, I want to remind you that John is writing his gospel about 90 A.D., so 60 years or so, 57 years or so after Jesus has lived and died and risen from the dead. And so John's looking back at all of the events of Jesus' life from a theological perspective, and he brings certain things in there. And in our text today, he just sort of inserts this phrase, the Jewish Passover was at hand. What John wants us to see is the role of Passover here. One other thing I'll mention to you is in this chapter, John chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he walks on water. And then he explains the feeding, the bread. And lots of us have wondered, well, why is this walking on water in the midst of this? Well, the clue is in the Passover deal. Because John sees two Passover events here. Are you still with me? Stay with me. He's looking at the original Passover, which was monumental in Jewish life, and all of these persons' life. And in the Hebrew Passover, you have the Passover meal as they're escaping Egypt. You have going through the Red Sea. And then you have the feeding of manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. So the Passover meal, you escape from Egypt, go through the Red Sea, the parted Red Sea on dry land, and the feeding of manna from heaven. In this text, in John chapter 6, you have a similar deal. You have Jesus feeding the 5,000, having walking on water. And that's that connection with going through the Red Sea on dry land. And then the explanation of Jesus being manna from heaven, bread from heaven. Now, we want to begin with the map of that part of the world, and that'll come up. If you can look way at the top, and if you can make out, it may be hard, but you see way at the top is a sea, and then there's the Jordan River that comes down into the Sea of Galilee. That's the bigger body of water near the top. And just to the right of the river is a dot that says Capernaum. And that's where Jesus' main headquarters was. Number of healings, that's where Peter's mother-in-law lived, and a lot of things happened there, and where word just spread like lightning around. And in this story, they go from Capernaum over to, across the river, to Bethsaida, and that's the other dot on the other side of the river. So you can maybe get an idea. About four miles. So, just to give you an idea for the context of this story. Now, let's look at the scripture, and I'll walk you through it. After this, Jesus went across the Galilee Sea, which is also known as Tiberias Sea, depending, you know, who's in charge, who's the ruler, but it has double names. And a large crowd followed him because they'd seen these miraculous signs. Word had spread about Jesus. He'd been in ministry for a number of months. Signs that he had done among the sick. Jesus went up on a mountain and sat there with his disciples. It was nearly time for Passover. You see the Passover here? The Jewish festival. And Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, and he asked Philip. Now you might ask, why did he ask Philip? Well, Philip's from Bethsaida, this town where they are, as is Andrew and Peter. You can look it up in John 1:44. So he asked Philip. He said, Philip, you know this area. Where will we buy food to feed these people? Jesus said this to test them. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied,
more than half your salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little bit. One of his disciples, Andrew, also from Bethsaida, Simon Peter's brother, said, "Hey, here's a youth. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But wow, what good is that for a crowd like this?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass there, and some of you have been there, you know that's the way it was. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. When they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets. Now on that day, many of these itinerant people carried a basket with them to keep the things. So maybe in each of the 12 disciples had a basket, so they had 12 baskets. It may also be John's way of saying that the 12 tribes of Israel, this is the fulfillment of that, filled them with the pieces of 5 barley loaves. Now barley was the poor person's bread. It was what poorer people ate rather than wheat bread. Had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous thing, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who is coming into the world.'" May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word. Now let me just say that I've just been impressed and interested in how Jesus uses very tangible, specific, concrete things in almost all of his sermons and all of his teachings. He takes bread and talks about the bread of life. He takes fish and says, "I'll make you fishers of men and women." He takes a seed and said it must fall on the ground, or a sower went out to sow. Things out of the lives of ordinary people. He would take in his Sermon on the Mount the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and say, "You don't need to worry. God takes care of them. God will take care of you." Or trees, big trees, vines and vineyards. Two weeks ago, David Dodge was here on Wednesday night. We've been having people who've been connected with Trinity over the years. And last week, David Allen was here. And this coming week, Jane Huffman, Jane Pierce, will be here on Wednesday night. Well, David Dodge was here, and I was out of town, so I wasn't able to defend myself against my very good friend, David Dodge. He and I are buddies. We worked together a number of years here, and he's in our clergy group. And David was explaining why I don't like to fish. And so he showed a picture that I'm sure he doctored up, because this could not possibly be the case, that was the very little fish that I caught. Do you see it there? And David not only pointed it out, but as somebody said, he took a laser pin and pointed to that and to describe, because it was so small to be able to see. See, David photoshopped that. The real fish that I caught is in that picture right there. What's so funny? I like to never brought that fish in. It was such a fighter for me. At any rate, well, Jesus, these things from God's creation. And we shouldn't be surprised, because John tells us in the prologue, doesn't he? Remember, in the very beginning of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And listen to this, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And so God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit involved in creation, and that's the reason you feel renewed when you're out in creation and your heart and mind are attuned to sort of the value of creation, because God has imparted part of God's self in that. So he uses fish, fishers of men and women. He uses birds. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Look at the birds in the air. Your Father in heaven cares for them. Oh yeah, so here we go with stepping stones. Stepping stones is, as you well know, our preschool here. It is thriving. Doing so well that when they offer the next sessions to members of the current Stepping Stone group, members of the church, and then to the general public, when they opened it up to the general public, at 5:30 that morning, there were chairs lined up out here waiting to get in line to make sure they could sign up. I mean, that's the amazing thing that's happened. This is happening right out here, and the Stepping Stones children, whose theme this year is God's Big Backyard, this owl is right out here. And lots of parents and children have had lots of learnings from this. So this is a big-horned owl, and I think the baby is in the next slide there, yeah. Isn't this glorious? And you can just picture the children learning about this and learning lots of things. And I just happened to run into Jeff Tennant and Jack Brown and Sue Tennant, and Jack, you know, Jack knows all this stuff. And he said, the next picture is not only, but that's, slow down a little bit. Back, can you go back one? That is a mother. There's a father and a mother. This is the mother. And the reason he knows this is because the mother's sitting on the nest with the baby. Now, the baby is about 3 weeks old now, and I think the next picture, or 4 weeks, is the baby trying to get up over the fence. And so you can imagine. Now, one of the beautiful things, when Jan Banks took me out there the other day, baby Lily is what they're calling this owl. Oh, there. Is perched up about 30 feet on a branch. And then about 45 or 50 feet higher and behind is the mother or father, or both, I don't know. And you have this sense that the mother or father is there observing, a sentinel, a protector from the hawk that is also out here. And think of the image, the spiritual lesson that the children are learning about God's protection. Just what Jesus said in the scripture. And just as in our lesson today, a child shall lead them, the Stepping Stones children are leading us. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot I was going to say that. But yeah, the Talmud, the Jewish law, has this beautiful phrase, every blade of grass has its own angel bending. Hey, we better get together up here. Go back to every blade of grass has its own angel bending over it, whispering, grow, grow. Lenora, in her devotional this past Friday, said we must be awake and present in the moment to see the sacred that surrounds us. And now let's go to this quote from Paul Woodruff, which should be the next quote. You have that about reverence. Reverence is the virtue that keeps people from trying to act like gods. And then his follow-up is, an irreverent soul who is unable to feel awe in the presence of things higher than the self is also unable to feel respect in the presence of things it sees as lower than the self. So consequently, you have Jesus, who has this amazing sense of awe, has this wonderful sense of respect for children who others would want to keep away from him, for the outcast, for things, for people who might be perceived as lower. And I think of, finally, a tree. When you go outside the worship center today, look to your left at that tree that leans like this. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've been so inspired by that tree all these years. And Jay Kirkpatrick's name is right there, and I was dedicated in memory of Jay. But we had a storm here 2 years ago, and several trees out here were lost, and several trees right out front were lost. When I heard that we lost several trees, I was sure that tree had gone. It was the trees right beside it. And I have a sense of how heavy the end of that tree is. And yet it still stays there, and you've got to believe that the root system is amazing. And the spiritual lesson that I'm learning from this is I'm thinking about people who've gone on in this congregation, the pioneers who've leaned over, whose root system has kept them. I think of Bam York right now, who's in assisted living. She and E.T. have been there. A root system. I think of parents and children, the weight of the world on their hearts because of their children. You can have all kinds of understanding of this, whatever it is. But the root system digs deep down for you and for me. And so then we come to bread. For special occasions, Jan and I will go to Upper Crust. And we'll buy baguettes of rosemary bread. Anybody ever do that? Isn't it glorious? Wow. And in the past, we bought the long bread, but what we find is we eat half of it before the guests arrive. It's so good, and so we now have limited ourselves to this. Or her grandmother made dilly bread, and Franny and her team have made the bread for this morning's Holy Communion because we're focusing on I am the bread of life. And some of you made banana bread or zucchini bread. And many people around the world know that bread is an essential food of life. It's a part of every meal. And many times restaurants will say, would you like bread with that? And Jan and I always go to the restaurant saying, we're not going to say yes to the offer of bread. And we always accept the bread when it comes out. A Latin word for bread, breaking bread, is companere. Companere, from which we get our word companion. This past Sunday evening, several of us were gathered at a gathering of people from various parts of the world and various cultures, and someone said what we all felt. When you break bread together, cultural barriers break down. When you break bread together, cultural barriers break down, and wouldn't it be glorious? We could break bread more fully in broader circles. Or this final quote from a master baker shares about the history of bread, if you'll bring that up. Bread has always been the center of meals throughout history. It's a food source, it's a nutrient, but in a larger sense, it's a way to bring the community together in a way that other foods aren't shared. Bread is usually something that is broken and shared. So when Jesus sees this very large crowd, he becomes concerned about both dimensions of their life, their physical hunger and their spiritual hunger, as every follower of Jesus is called to be concerned, both physical and spiritual. But how to feed so many? How to help people key into their need, their deep need to connect with God and satisfy their overwhelming spiritual hunger? So we ask Philip, you're from around here, what can we do? And Philip says, I don't know. And at times I admit that I'm a lot like Philip. I suffer from amnesia. I forget that what Jesus has just done, these miraculous signs. I forget that God is God. I get overwhelmed in the immediate situation, so focused on the impossibilities that I forget the faith dimension. And then he asks Andrew, and Andrew probably, maybe saw a young boy or a young child and says, oh my word, here's a child with some bread. We were talking about this in Bible study Wednesday, and one of our members said, I bet that little boy or girl saw these huge crowds and he gathered up his bread and said, I'm going to make some money here today. I never thought of that before. But it may be true. And so the children come. And I've asked my dear friends from Wednesday nights and other times, Justin and Reagan, and they've got five loaves of bread, and they're going to bring them up just as that child or those children did that day. And they brought them up to Jesus. Thank you, Justin and Reagan. And they're going to present them just like you and I would do, bringing just who we are and what we're about. Oh, thanks very much. And they're going to offer the bread and our lives to Jesus, aren't we? Justin and Reagan, thank you very much. I think the folks want to give you a hand for doing this morning. Thank you. You can go back and have a seat.
Thank you.
You can picture it, can't you? And so Jesus took that bread. You know, what Jesus didn't do was just call manna down from heaven. He didn't create bread out of nothing. He took the gift of a child. It's always a human divine endeavor. We offer our little. He makes it much. You and I can do that, can't we? And we can receive from Him the bread of life. I'm daring to believe, because I've seen it, that whenever we offer ourselves and our gifts and baskets to God, to Jesus, miraculous things happen. And people are fed and nourished and helped and strengthened. As David Allen reminded us on this past Wednesday night, Jesus, the precious one, the priceless one, the perfect one, the powerful one, offered thanks and the bread multiplied. As Jan and I move into this period of transition, I've envisioned myself before God and saying, God, here's the basket we call Trinity, and I mean, you and they have done all these things, but I've sort of had my hand sometimes on the handle of the basket. I'm releasing it and giving it to you, and God, multiply it. Multiplied as they offer themselves anew and afresh. And Jan and I were talking about this just yesterday, and we're going to take the basket of our lives, and I invite you to take yours. We're going to offer the next phase of our lives to Him, however God wants to use it. What's in your basket? Will you give it to Him? Would you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks. For Jesus, the bread of life. And over these years, we've fed on Him. He nurtured our souls. He led us in paths of righteousness, in green pastures and still waters. When we've forgotten about you, you've reminded us. When we've been weak, you've made us strong. You are the source of our life. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. I've written a liturgy for today that ties in with this. It's different than what you've had before, so follow with me. And ushers, partway through, I'm going to invite you up if you would come down to the front. Join with me, would you, in your imagination? You are there, aren't you, on that mountainside? You see the youth with the basket of bread and wonder, what could so little do for so many? And Jesus welcomes that child and receives the gift as He does all our gifts, humbly given. And then Jesus lifts the bread and gives thanks. And we fall into silent wonder and overwhelming awe as we witness a miracle. We see our Lord Jesus, who came into the world to bring us true life, who welcomed the poor and outcast, who gave sight to the blind and healing to the broken and brokenhearted, fed the hungry and ate with sinners. Jesus took into Himself the brokenness of the world and conquered even death itself and rose in glorious victory. This same Jesus offers us forgiveness of our sins and food for our souls, even the very bread of life and the cup of salvation. Ushers, would you come at this time? We see Him as He lifts the bread and gives thanks and gives it to His disciples, saying, take, eat. This is the very bread of life for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are there with Him in the upper room as He takes the cup and gives thanks and says, drink from this, for this cup is eternal life for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we come today physically and spiritually hungry and humbly ask to receive the bread of life, the manna from heaven. We hear Jesus anew when He says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the holy sacrament of our spiritual food, that we may be true followers of Jesus, bringing our baskets of loaves and fish to a needy and hungry world, and allow the miracle of God to happen again and again here in Gainesville and around the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
You don't need to be a member of this church. You just need to want to follow Jesus and be willing to offer your baskets to Him. Receive the bread and the cup and hold it, if you would, that we might celebrate it in the spirit of unity.
My life could really change.
you'll notice that this bread is larger than it often is. As you receive it, I'm going to invite you to use your imagination. Receive it now, would you? As you receive it, take yourself to the Sea of Galilee, to the grassy plain. Watch that child bring that basket of bread. Watch the miracle of Jesus unfold. And commit yourself to living in the strength of He who is the bread of life. And offer your life anew unto Him, the bread of life. And now the cup of salvation poured out for you. Take and drink. Feed on Him. Almighty God, we give You thanks for this gift of life itself. You who nurture us in soul and body, we are blessed to know You as Savior, Lord, and friend. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you stand as you're able and take somebody's hand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.